I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Pascal Milleli joins me now. He is a Vancouver artist who's won numerous awards, including the Amelia Frances Howard Gibbon Illustrators Award from the Canadian Library Association. He's written a new book, He's illustrated a new book, Waiting for the Owl's Call, a book for young readers by Gloria Whalen. It's the third release in a series from Sleeping Bear Press that brings stories from ancient Japan to West Africa to young readers. These are stories featuring young characters and their shared dreams, giving the reader an insight into the diverse cultures as depicted in the series. In Waiting for the Owl's Call, we go to Afghanistan, where 8-year-old Zulvia and her sister, mother, and grandmother are all weaving rugs by hand. The work is not easy, and they often dream of school. The illustrations are great, and perhaps it'd be trite of me to say they look like pieces of art. Invariably, they are. And now we talk to the artist. Pascal Milleli is from Vancouver. He's a graduate of the Alberta College of Art and Design. He's illustrated books by Stephen Eaton Hume and Susan Van de Graeck. His clients have included Scribner Books, Harper's, The Atlantic, and more. His website is pascalmilleli.com. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Pascal Milleli. Good morning, Mr. Milleli.
Good morning.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Vancouver and Calgary, but I was born in Europe.
And in terms of being an artist and the work that you do, is Vancouver a good place to work?
That's a good question. Vancouver's a good place to work in that it has a supportive arts community. The nature of illustration work is solitary, and the challenge with the work is to keep yourself revved up and inspired as you can. But Vancouver, I have family in Vancouver, and I've been here 20 years. I moved out here after graduating from Alberta College of Art and Design, and it has been a good station. And if sometimes I make trips out to kind of refill the well, whether to an illustrators conference or various things, and bring it back. But this is home base and definitely work base as well.
Now, when did you know you wanted to be an artist?
Well, I was illustrating little children's books and things, picture books that I would make myself at around 6. So it was early days.
And did someone say to you, Pascal, you've got a talent here, you're pretty good at it?
I was encouraged. I didn't actually take art classes in school until I had a terrific art teacher, Natalie Kurzik, when I attended Henry Wisewood High School in Calgary, and she was terrifically encouraging, and she saw some potential in me and encouraged me to attend life drawing classes and kind of supplement the school curriculum with my own projects. And that was terrific preparation for. I went to university for 2 years and took fine arts at the University of Calgary, and then decided to specialize in more commercial work. I love the problem solving part of illustration, which I don't have when I'm working kind of in the fine art mode. I like working off a text or a problem or some kind of a communication challenge, and I did need training for that. So Alberta College of Art delivered on that front.
And so it was in high school that you knew you'd make this a career?
Yeah. I just didn't know that I would go the commercial route. So what I ended up doing was getting fine art training in life drawing and basic drawing skills and design, and then I transferred to the Alberta College of Art, and that kind of advanced training kept me in good stead for what was to follow. I kind of had a foundation laid out.
And you found that doing sort of the commercial things that you talk about, I mean, I've read that you do packages for tea and video game covers and the sort as well?
Yeah. Everything across the board. That's the joy of the illustrator's life, is you never know what the phone is going to bring as your next job. And some jobs are, you know, a children's book is wonderful because it's almost like directing a little movie. You have a sustained, you have an audience for a sustained period, you hope, for the duration, from the beginning to the end of the book. And you kind of control that viewing experience, and you can have a sequence unfold, and it all has your signature. So that's, in that way, a children's book is a dream job. They're not all like that. There's some work that, you know, an annual the contents of an annual report sometimes can be a bit dry, and the challenge is to make the mission of the company or perhaps a new message visually appealing and stimulating. And I mean, that's part of our job too, is to make things kind of visually enticing.
Is this the only book in the series that you've illustrated?
It is, yeah.
I'm assuming that these are paints that you used. I know nothing about art, so I don't, you know.
Oh, okay. They're oil paint on primed canvas.
And then how are they, this may seem silly, but how are they then, are they photographed, or are they scanned, or how do they?
No, they were photographed, and we sent the publisher digital scans of all the paintings. Very high quality. I had them professionally photographed. I don't have that kind of know-how. And and then from there it goes to press.
Now, where you work in Vancouver.
I do.
Yeah. What's your space like? Is it at home, or is it at a studio? Or
I worked for years downtown in a studio, and loved it. And then they built a big building right in front of my window, so my light was blocked and my view. And I thought I think this is a kind of a sign. And since then, for the last 5 years, I've been working from home. There's pros and cons to both. I loved going into town and being part of a workforce and kind of the buzz of downtown life. But at the same time, working from home has benefits as well.
For the painter, does it matter if it's natural light? I mean, you talked about the building in front of the window, or is artificial light just as good?
The ideal light is north-facing light and not direct sunlight, and I have that at home in my studio, which is favorable. At the time, what I had in the studio when I worked downtown was east-facing windows and then south-facing windows, so the sun would turn and I would have natural light, and it wasn't direct sunlight. You don't want to paint in sunlight, so that because it can really distort your colors, and you compensate for the light. I also had fluorescent, full spectrum fluorescence, because I did a lot of work in that studio. I did a lot of work kind of late at night as well.
Yeah,
and that's okay. But natural light coming from the north is the ideal.
And do you all, like, you're in your other work, do you use a computer to design things, or is it always?
I do use a computer to design things. If I for designing self promotion material, all my billing, I email my sketches. You know, I used to do everything by, you know, I would run to Kinko's and photocopy my pencil drawings,
yeah,
and so that I would get a good black and then fax that. The computer has been great to kind of streamline that process. I just scan in my pencil drawings, heighten the blacks a little bit, and just to punch them up, and then do everything by email. For waiting for the owl's call, I didn't actually meet the publishers who are in Michigan. Everything was done by email and phone.
So you never got to meet Gloria?
I didn't, no.
But you talked to her on the phone and all that?
No, we didn't. Not during the actual creation of the paintings. And that's been consistently my experience with the publishers. Like to keep the two camps separate and act as an intermediary. So if there were questions I had, there were a few kind of regional details that I needed clarification on for my drawings to make sense at the sketch stage. And I asked the publisher, and they forwarded my questions to Gloria, and then Gloria forwarded her answer via the publisher. At the end, we had a warm conversation, a warm correspondence about the completion of the book. She sounded very pleased with the paintings, which, I mean, that's the ultimate. You do want the author to be pleased with the outcome.
Is that a typical experience, though, to not have that direct communication?
It
just sounds fascinating to me that you could put together a book that's two equal parts and not communicate.
Well, we communicated via the editor and the designer, and as I say, if there were any uncertainties, they forwarded it to Gloria. It's been typical, just in the sense that it's a nightmare when you start illustrating by committee or with people kind of hanging over your back or you're over art directed. My worst work in during my career has been work that's been produced under those conditions. Sometimes you can't help it, but you know, it's just the nature of the way, you know, a particular client has, there's an editorial board that things have to go through. But it's generally, if you can avoid it, it's best. And the publishers that I've worked with on picture books have encouraged that kind of process where they're the intermediary.
So you get the text. So the text is done beforehand, and then you get that, and then you illustrate from that. Is that right?
Yeah, they sent me. Well, each time, what they do is they sent just a plain text document in manuscript form, and then further down the line, and then you decide whether it's something you're interested in working on, and then further down the line, they send you a design grid where they show you how the book is going to be laid out, where the type will rest on the page, and that gives you an idea where how to kind of break up your story visually. And I work with a kind of storyboard format, like very, very rough to start out with, just in terms of blocking, and then I do research, and then I do detailed drawings, which I then send to the publisher for approval.
So then how do you know what the characters look like? Do you get that from the text, or do they tell you that she needs to look like this?
If there's anything specific that she needs to look like, they'll include that in the brief. You know, in terms of, like, if the ages aren't mentioned, the ages are mentioned in Waiting for the Owl's Call, but that's not always the case. So you do get a little bit of background information. That's kind of my leap to find some kind of a likeness for how I see the character, and my wish is that it'll coincide with the author's vision as well. But it is a leap.
And do you do much research at all in terms of, I mean, you mentioned earlier you get the regional details of Afghanistan. You look at the culture, obviously. You do some research, do you?
I did a lot of research for this one, and it's sort of across the board. I used the picture file at the Vancouver Public Library. The downtown branch has a great picture file collection, and so I looked up Turkey, I looked up Afghanistan, I looked up weavers, village life, anything along those lines. The internet was invaluable for the kind of, just getting the kind of details. For instance, it talks about the knots she makes as she's weaving, and that was something I knew nothing about, you know, and needed to have kind of those details in place before I started painting.
And you look at a lot of rugs as well?
I did, yeah.
You'd also done some work as a courtroom artist, right?
Years ago, you're digging into the archives, but yes, I did.
Now,
TV television.
What was that like? Going to, you had to be in court, I guess, the whole time, right?
Yeah. In that way, it was another collaboration. You know, you're working with a reporter, and they'll tell you kind of what the main shots that they want are. The suspect, or sometimes it's the most maybe the most nerve-wracking case was one time the reporter said, "Now I'd like a shot of the entire town because it was something that had taken place in a small town, and a lot of people just outside a small town, and a lot of people had come for the case, and they wanted a shot of them sitting in the courtroom." So I had to just draw very quickly a lot of people. That was kind of the top challenge.
Yeah.
But it's interesting work, and I had a lot of freedom when I was doing it and could work quite spontaneously. And generally what I did was I would do the ink or pencil work on site, and then I would take a cab back to the CBC studio and then apply color, usually transparent watercolor, so that the ink line work would show through. And but it was had enough kind of jazz and color for television viewing.
Well, what's fascinating is that it's a I guess in the United States they don't really have courtroom artists anymore, do they?
I haven't seen anything recently, and usually, I think I've seen some courtroom work that is done in chalk pastel all on site, but that you need a lot of space to set up, you know, a full palette of chalk pastels and your own easel and paper and all of that. So I worked actually quite small with a sketchbook in my lap, so it was low tech.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, you know, they're talking about putting cameras in courts here, and I doubt that courtroom artists will I mean that job will continue
mm-hmm.
to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are some of the projects you're working on now?
I'm working on writing a collection of short stories. I am working on a children's book, both text and imagery. Which I've never done before, so it'll be interesting to. I think that's the next logical venture. It's nice to work from other people's text because you can use it as a springboard, and it's an existing complete thing in itself. Right now, you know, creating the two is quite a different experience.
Pascal, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and continued good luck to you on your endeavors and you and Gloria for this book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your interest.
You're very welcome. The book is called Waiting for the Owl's Call. It's from Sleeping Bear Press. It's written by Gloria Whalen and illustrated by Pascal Milleli. His website, pascalmilleli.com. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.